Anshita Kool is a name you might not be familiar with yet, but she is bringing her special brand of comedy to Brussels on Monday. We talked to her as well as to Neve Maroney, who arranges English language stand-up in the capital.
I'm Niamh Maroney. I'm a theatre producer and a comedy showrunner.
My name is Anshita Kaul, and I'm a stand-up comedian, but I also have day jobs of an educator, a tour guide, and a writer.
So I'm going to start with Neve. Tell me about Insecure and Dangereux. You stage stand-up comedy in Brussels in English.
Yes, exactly. So we started in July 2018. Yeah, and we started off running gigs in the Funky Monkey in Schumann, started packing that out, and then we started another show in Au Bassin, previously Via Via. So we've had a nice collaboration going there as well. We also work in the Black Sheep and the Meininger Hotel. And then we run sometimes special events, cabaret or different kinds of shows. So yeah, just depending on kind of what mood takes us and what venue is up for it.
Why did you start this organization? Did you see a gap in the market?
Yeah, we thought, gosh, there's nothing really for kind of people who want to start. Like, there's no open mics really in English, and then like there would be the odd time, but not something consistent. So we thought that would be nice for us to kind of get better. So it was really a space where the group that I work with, so that we could kind of work together and do shows and work on our material weekly, and it's been quite successful. So obviously we filled that gap somehow.
So you were working in theater previous to that then?
Yeah, I've always worked in theater and mounting shows and organizing events. Yeah.
And how did you come up with the name Insecure and Dangereux?
I think it was a bit of self-reflection on all of us. We were thinking, we're a bit insecure and that could be dangerous. I
A little
think.
bit of insecurity is a very dangerous thing. Isn't that a phrase or something? Have you been able to schedule any shows actually since COVID started?
now. We have had two shows since COVID. So, it's hard on the venues to kind of agree to pack out rooms. So, and it's hard for comedians to perform to small audiences, in large spaces. So, yeah, we've had a couple of we've had one show in the Black Sheep, which is where we're putting this show on. And we've also had one show in collaboration with Stand Up in Le Parc, the new French organization. And then, yeah, a lot of our comedians also performed on an English night for those guys too. So they're doing great stuff, and we've started collaborating with them as well. Yeah.
Okay. And the Brussels coronavirus measures are not relaxing the same way as the rest of the country. So what is the situation going to be like on Monday night for Anchieta?
On Monday, you're going to be seated in your bubble. There's, I don't know if you know the Black Sheep, but there's like these little booths. So they'll be filled separately, and then we'll have tables, like I guess everywhere else, where everybody's social distanced in their bubble. So that's kind of why the numbers for the night are a tiny bit unpredictable. If lots of people book in twos, for example, there'll be less. So I would urge people to book so we can kind of make a nice seating plan for the evening. Yeah.
To book in fours.
Book in fours, exactly. Yeah. Go big or go
And do they
home.
have to wear face masks during the performance?
During the performance, yes, but not if you're drinking or eating.
So I'd love to hear from Anchieta now. Are you insecure and dangereux?
I'm a comic. That's like our second nature. We are all a bit insecure, and I think insecurity, it's more external than it's internal. Like, if the world would be perfect, ideal, fair, people would not be that insecure. But I think it's more external, and it sometimes works in your favor and sometimes doesn't. So I think as we grow older, we just have to figure out how to navigate around our insecurities.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And so you hail from India, and specifically the rather complicated Kashmir region. I mean, politically complicated. I'm sure you're not complicated at all.
You don't know me, Lisa. No.
But you use this sort of regional background in your work.
Yes, I do. So this is my first English solo, but I have two solos in Hindi back in India. And in my Hindi solo specifically, because I come from Jammu Kashmir, 20 minutes of my hour is political satire comedy because I come from that region, and it would be very awkward if I don't address that. So yeah, it is a part of my work. But also there are some bits which I also use in my English solo where I talk about my nose, which is a very signature nose of my community and all the politics around it.
And you moved to Germany a couple of years ago. What led to that?
Love. So I married my partner of a long time. They were already in Germany doing their masters. And then we got married 6 years ago. And then I also moved to Germany.
So you started doing stand-up before you moved to Germany?
No, actually, I started doing stand-up after. So I'm a software engineer by qualification, which is also what I also joke about in my comedy as well. So after I moved to Germany, I quit my IT career and I started exploring what all is that I can do. And surprisingly, I found out that I'm really funny. And I love public speaking. I love traveling. So it kind of just went on from there. And I did a TV show in India. It's called Queens of Comedy, which is India's first ever reality TV stand-up comedy show. And I auditioned for that and I got in. It happened in 2017. Before that, I was doing YouTube. I was making funny videos on my YouTube channel. But that show was the time when I actually entered the world of stand-up comedy, and I just fell in love with it. And ever since, I've been doing stand-up comedy, both in India and Europe.
And what is it that you like about it?
So I like the fact that it's very spontaneous and very, you know, synchronous, because when I was doing YouTube, you write a script. It's a lot of sketch comedy. You write characters, you have a flow, and then you shoot it. But then when you're editing, you can always remove the bad parts and you can always make it look very, very nicer and, you know, all of that. So it's very asynchronous. And then you post it and then you receive the feedback. But in stand-up, it's right there, right now, you know. Whatever you worked on, you perform in front of different kind of audiences. And sometimes when you get a little comfortable on the stage, when you think you have found your voice, you can actually play. It's like a game of cards. You know, you're playing the audience because you know there is a punchline that's coming up next and they are going to laugh on it. But it's very interesting. It's very thrilling. And there's a connection that you form with the audience, and it's very real. And I, as a person, really enjoy that kind of connection, not just in my work, but also in my personal life. Like, I love having conversations, real time, very raw, and very earnest. So I think that's what I really like about stand-up. And also, it's a very good medium for me to express all the anger that I have felt as a woman all over my life. So I think, yeah, it's a very good way to channel my anger.
So the patriarchy is not a safe place to hide in your show, I'm guessing.
Oh, patriarchy is going to have a very bad time until the day I die. Let's just put it that way.
So give me a little sample.
I have a bit about feminism where I basically do a satire where I try to say that it's hard being a feminist because I myself would prefer to have a lot of power. And in order to be truly feminist, you know, I have to start treating everyone equal to me, including men. But I am awesome. And that kind of equality feels like oppression to me. But then because, I met so many beautiful men in my life who are feminists, who are really nice and who are also the victim of patriarchy. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll be a feminist for you, you know.
For you, man.
Exactly. Just for you, you know. But then I do a little bit of satire, and I basically concluded by saying that I'm a learning feminist, because feminism, like any other movement, has its flaws, has its ups and downs. It's not perfect, but discrediting an entire movement which led to the day that we women can get up on stage and say what we want, we can vote, we can drive, and just discrediting it because people do not understand it. And people sometimes perceive it in a very binary form, like, you know, it's bad or good. I try to enter that conversation and say that, you know, I'm a learning feminist, and so you can be learning as well. But of course, I punch it up with a punchline, which I'll reserve for the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's something I do. And I also have a lot of bits about how I feel like marriage is a scam and biggest scam and most successful scam of patriarchy. So there's going to be a lot of that as well.
Okay. And does being an Indian expat in Central Europe provide any kind of material?
Oh, definitely. That's also there. I mean, when I started doing comedy in Europe, in the beginning, I did find it difficult to find my voice because I was like, what do I joke about, you know? Because also there's these parallels and comparison between India and Germany. It has been done a lot. A lot of Indians or comics who have lived in Europe, not particularly in Germany, they have spoken about it. For example, you know, German language or German food and all of that, and as an Indian. But I recognized after, of course, I did some open mics here and, you know, performed in different rooms, that there are not many Indian women doing comedy in Europe, which is a very unique voice. When I realized that, I tried to, you know, hold on to it and try to explore and try to talk about my experiences, not just as a woman, but as an Indian woman in Europe. And that kind of really appealed to a lot of people, I think.
And so you did have to change your show quite a lot from what you perform in India and what you perform in Europe, I would imagine.
They are entirely different. So that's an entirely different 50 minutes. And this is an entirely different 50 minutes. For my Hindi solo in India, there's a lot of political comedy around Kashmir, which will only be, you know, contextual to the people in India. And then, of course, there are other experiences as well. But here, this one is more for an international audience.
Is this your first time in Brussels?
No, actually, the first show I did in Brussels was in 2019 with Insecure and Danger.
Okay.
And I think I have to say that was the show that kind of put me on the stand-up comedy map in Europe.
Really?
It really went well, yes. Before that, I was doing comedy in Europe for, I would say, a year and 2 months. And I was doing open mics. I was doing some shows. I was doing my maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And it was going well. But this particular show was the one where I did 20 minutes for the first time. And it was really good. And it was so good that soon, like a week later, I started getting shows from everywhere else around in Europe.
Really? So hooray, Brussels.
Yeah. Yes. So it was Brussels. And that's why I'm really, really excited to perform on Monday.
Niamh, I wanted to ask you another thing. Do you have more shows coming up this year?
What's really wonderful is our venues are now getting back in touch and saying, when would you like to start? Which is fantastic. We had kind of hoped it might happen a bit earlier, but everyone, you know, needs to be comfortable. So yes, there are shows in the pipeline. Keep an eye on our social media and you'll see those dates popping up very soon.
How do you feel when you hear someone tell you that they got their big break here in Brussels with Insecure and Dangereux?
I love it. Like, and you know, a lot of comics do really enjoy coming and playing our night because it's very chill. You know, everybody gets along very well. All the comedians come out to support each other. So it is like people will travel to play our stage, which is so nice, you know. And so like, that's a great environment. And like, I think then it can only kind of spark from there. So like, our audience are great. They're super cool. I love them. And yes, so it makes for a good time. So yeah, it's not just us. It's the venue. It's the audience, you know, and it all just like, yeah, we've got a good thing going.
Sorry to interrupt you. I just remembered that show was so good that I forgot to record my set. I forgot to record the audio.
No.
And it was so good. And the next day I just felt so bad that there is no audio of it. And my partner was responsible for that. And yeah, we had a very big fight about it.
I will have a designated person on the on Monday.
I'm on a ritual,
the only job is to hit record.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs>